This conference is being recorded.
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Krupasannubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I offer my respectful obeisances to the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and then to the feet of all the Vaishnavas who are on the call today. Thank you very much for taking time so that we can speak about Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the chapter called Divinity and Divine Service, the quintessential instruction for everyone and the ultimate goal of all yoga is mentioned in the verse number 14 in the second chapter, Divinity and Divine Service. Ekena manasa bhagavan sattvatam patihi shotavya kirtitavyascha jaya pujascha nityada. And the translation is, therefore, with one pointed attention, one should constantly hear about, glorify, remember, and worship the Personality of Godhead, who is the protector of the devotees. And today's subject, specifically, is the sixth characteristic of pure devotional service, which is that pure devotional service is the only way to attract Krishna. We have discussed the other five characteristics of devotional service, and this one is listed by Rupa Goswami as the sixth characteristic, and that Krishna is only, well, Krishna is Atmarama. He's not attracted to anything else except for himself, because he's self-satisfied, except for the fact that he's attracted to pure devotional service. He's attracted to his devotees. And the devotees who have developed pure attraction for Krishna with no consideration of anything else live always under the protection of his divine. This is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, Mahatmanas tu mam partha daivim prakritim ashrita bhajantyananya manaso gyatva bhutinam avyayam. Krishna describes that a Mahatma, a great soul, is someone who has completely taken shelter of Krishna with no other consideration. And for such a person, Krishna gives his full attention and he becomes completely attracted. And in the commentary on this character, this characteristic of pure devotional service, that it is the only way to attract Krishna. Rupa Goswami gives a very important verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, in which Krishna says to Uddhava, Nasariyati mam yogo, na sankhyam dharma Uddhava, na swadhyayas tapastyago yata bhaktir mamorjita. My dear Uddhava, Krishna says, the unalloyed devotional service rendered to me by my devotees brings me under their control. I cannot be thus controlled by those engaged in mystic yoga, Sankhya philosophy, pious work, Vedic study, austerity, or renunciation. So there's a long list there that Krishna gives about different other kinds of processes like mystic yoga, Sankhya philosophy, pious work, Vedic study, austerity, renunciation. Although those are all nice, ultimately they're not attractive to Krishna. The one thing that actually attracts him is when someone has unalloyed devotion for him and makes no other consideration and takes shelter nowhere else. And when someone develops this quality, then Krishna becomes attracted to such a person. And it's mentioned by Rupa Goswami, this is called Urjita Bhakti. It's like a very strong, concentrated ray of sunshine. It is very powerful. So when one's devotional service, when one's attraction for Krishna and feeling of surrender to Krishna becomes very strong and intense, then that begins to attract Krishna's attention. And this also, we've spoken about before, that all the processes of yoga are not effective. In fact, unless they're mixed with bhakti. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells this to Sanatana Goswami when he's instructing him about the ultimate goal of life. And he mentions processes to come to spiritual consciousness. But he describes them as weak, unless and to the degree that they're mixed with bhakti, the feeling of devotion. Otherwise, they're mechanical processes. Controlling the breath, controlling the mind and senses are only mechanical processes. But to the degree that there's actual devotion for Krishna, they become effective and they become strong. And therefore, on the path of pure bhakti, it's recommended, again by Rupa Goswami, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Anyabhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Nyanavritam Anakulyena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhaktirutama. The translation of that verse is, when first-class devotional service develops, one must be devoid of all material desires, knowledge obtained by monistic philosophy, and fruit of action. The devotee must constantly serve Krishna favorably as Krishna desires. So this means unalloyed devotional service. And to the degree that we have connection with this kind of feeling for Krishna by associating with his devotees and following in the footsteps of the devotees who have that kind of devotion, to that degree we will perfect our devotional service. So in the story of Krishna killing Agasura, the great serpent demon, there's a very specific mention of how much Krishna is attracted to the devotional service of his pure devotees. This story you'll find in the Krishna book, and this is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, that one day Krishna desired to go out into the forest to have a picnic with all of his friends. So he started very early in the morning, and he blew his conch shell to attract everyone's attention. And all his friends came running out to meet him. And then the Srimad Bhagavatam mentions how there were unlimited numbers of cows also coming with them to the forest, along with the boys. And as they went into the forest, the boys were playing games. They were stealing. One boy would steal a lunch pack from another boy and pass it to another, and he would pass it on to another. And then the boy whose lunch pack had been stolen would try to get it back, and out of frustration, he'd begin to cry, and then they'd finally give his lunch pack back. And sometimes the boys would go to a blind well, and they'd yell down into the well, and when they hear the echo coming back, they would call it ill names and laugh. And in this way, all the boys who were accompanying Krishna were playing. And then when Krishna would go off into the forest further to see the beauty of the forest, his friends would run after him to see who was the first one who could touch him. And this was the mood. They were all playing with Krishna and fully absorbed in Krishna. And just at that time, as they were going to the forest, there was a demon sent by Kamsa, whose name was Agasura. And he assumed the shape of a gigantic python and laid across the path that Krishna and his friends were taking into the forest. And actually, this was an arrangement by Krishna because he understood that the boys wouldn't stop playing unless there was some interruption, because they were so absorbed in playing. And also he had a desire to kill this demon. So through the super soul, he arranged that this Agasura demon would appear on the path. So when the Agasura demon laid across the path, the boys saw this gigantic snake, and some of them became afraid, but others said, no, this is just a plaything that was made by Krishna just for our fun. And they convinced the other boys that they should walk into the mouth of this gigantic python. And it's described how large he was, that the upper lip of the snake touched the sky, and then it was like a gigantic cave inside, completely dark. And the boys began to walk into the mouth of this big demon. And at that point, it's watching. And there's very interesting comment here by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that he says that one should not think that Krishna's Satya Sankalpa Shakti, or his potency that fulfills every desire of the Lord, was thwarted because Krishna could not stop the boys from entering the serpent's mouth, though he wanted to. On the other hand, Krishna's devotees had a desire to be saved by Krishna if by chance they were swallowed by the demon. Of the two desires, the desire of the devotee prevails according to the principle that the Lord is controlled by his devotee. This was perfectly arranged by Krishna's ever-watchful Leela Shakti, who harmonizes everything by removing all seeming contradictions. So, in this pastime, Krishna sees his friends entering within the mouth of Agasura, and their desire to be saved by Krishna was stronger than Krishna's desire. So this is one of the great mysteries of devotional service, how attractive the pure devotional service of his devotees is to Krishna. And it's mentioned in the verse that Lord Brahma gave when he had become bewildered by the potency of Krishna, when he said, Jnanai praasam udapasyanamante eva jivanti san ukaritam bhavatiya vartam stanestita shudikatam tanavan manobir ye prayaso jita jito pyasitaistrilokyam. And that is that one who has completely given up the speculative process, trying to understand God through any mechanical process, and simply stays in his or her position and hears and chants about Krishna in the association of pure devotees, that person will develop this kind of devotional service that's attractive, so much attractive to Krishna that it attracts even Krishna himself, or it conquers Krishna himself. Krishna is known as Ajita, unconquerable, but he's conquered by the love of his devotees. So, In the Nectar of Devotion, it's also mentioned that this quality of devotional service, that it attracts Krishna, means it also attracts Krishna's associates. So when someone develops this characteristic of pure unalloyed devotional service, depending only on Krishna, then all the great devotees also become attracted to such a person. And that was evidenced by the Pandavas, in whose house Krishna used to stay. And great personalities from all over the universe used to come and visit the Pandavas because they were so amazed by their devotional service. And at the same time, one of the characteristics of the Pandavas' devotional service was that they were constantly thinking that they were not qualified. And they said as much to Narada Muni when he was glorifying them and describing Prahlad Maharaj. They said they were amazed at the devotional service of Prahlad Maharaj, but they felt completely unqualified. But Narada Muni said, "You're the most qualified because Krishna himself is staying in your house and even acts as your messenger and sometimes as your charioteer." So this characteristic of pure devotional service, that it attracts Krishna, and that only this quality of pure devotional service can be an inspiration to us on the path of pure bhakti. And what is that? It's one-pointed attention towards the simple process of hearing and chanting and the association of the devotees. This simple process, without any additives, will assure complete success in devotional service. Nothing else is needed. And this is known as the development of faith. Shraddha shabde vishwas kahe suridhar nishchoy Krishna bhakti koila sarva karma krita hoy. There's a ever-increasing feeling for those who are advancing in the process of devotional service that all other things, although I may have to, of necessity, take care of my body and other kinds of obligations that I have in this world, but for a devotee who's developing shraddha or faith, the feeling that nothing else is needed, or the goal in life, ultimately, is to dedicate my activities and to point my attention towards the process of hearing and chanting and devotional service. By this activity, everything necessary in my life will come about automatically by Krishna's arrangement. This is the progressive development of pure devotional service. And as a principle, this solves all the difficulties of life, because there are unlimited decisions to make in this lifetime about where to live, how to make a living, how to take care of one's health, how to maintain proper social relations in the world, and so on. Fact is, we're a mixture of matter and spirit. We are eternal spirit souls. And in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the 33rd verse, very beautiful description Krishna gives of how the soul, that's us, is so subtle that it actually never mixes with anything, including this body that we're in. And although air, he says, mixes into water, apparently, or into mud and many other kinds of substances, it actually never mixes. So similarly, although we're in the body, and although we're in the world and mixed up in many different kinds of situations, ultimately, in the Brahman conception or in the spiritual conception, we never really mix. We're only passing through those kinds of situations. And it's our consciousness, it's our desire that becomes attached to matter. And that's what complicates our life. That's what gives us anxiety. We identify with our external material body and therefore think that I am suffering. And this is a problem. So the solution is to develop attachment to Krishna and take shelter of Krishna through the process of hearing and chanting in devotional service. And then one becomes unmixed gradually. Although mixed, although in that situation, we develop a pure conception of who I am. And this is a natural progression. It's described by Lord Kapiladeva in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that just as when you eat food, it gets digested automatically and distributed to all parts of your body. You don't have to think about it. In fact, even if you did think about it, you wouldn't be able to figure it out. It's a complex process, but by Krishna's arrangement, it takes place automatically. So in pure bhakti, we take complete shelter of Krishna for our advancement, and we take to the process given by the previous acharyas, by hearing and chanting, with full faith that the digestion process will take place. And what is that digestion? The subtle body, Kapiladeva says, that means our attachments and our anartas and our connection to the troublesome external conception of material life, it becomes digested by the process of devotional service, especially, Lord Kapiladeva says, by hearing and chanting about Krishna. And so this is the panacea. And hearing and chanting in a safe environment with devotees on a regular basis, nityam bhagavata sevaya, one becomes assisted by Krishna. Srinvatam svakata Krishna punya shravana kirtana hridyantaksto hibadrani vidunoti suritsatam. This verse in the second chapter of the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam says that those who hear about Krishna, that means chanting Krishna's names and hearing the name, that means hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. These are books which are, and sound vibrations which are not of this world. They actually come from the spiritual world. And by submitting to them, by hearing them patiently, the sound vibration itself and the active process of listening without any other consideration makes all things possible. It makes it possible to become extricated from the material conception of life. All things become sorted out naturally by the listening process, by the hearing process, and then repeating what one's heard. And living in that sound vibration, living near that sound vibration, it will act just as the digestion acts to digest food. And as one continues that process, one feels for oneself the efficacy of the sound, of that vibration that comes. And as a person who takes medicine gradually feels the effects of the medicine, in that the disease that he or she is suffering becomes eradicated gradually. At first, it's hard to tell. We take medicine, sometimes it doesn't act right away, but after a couple of days, you can feel the symptoms subsiding, and you can feel relief and health returning. So similarly, in the beginning of hearing and chanting, the mind may demand many other kinds of stimulation. But as the effect of the hearing takes place, one feels healthy in that the sound itself becomes attractive and substantial, and one feels that this sound is not from this world, and also its curative effect is felt by the person who's hearing and chanting, and that means that the pinching modes of passion, which force me to work very hard for nothing in this world, lose their effect on me. This takes place by the hearing process. And then the great wealth of life is in the continued thickening of one's desire and feeling that I'm getting all wealth from this process of hearing and chanting, and one becomes actually greedy for it. There's a verse from the Puranas which says, just as a miser becomes completely addicted to money and counts and recounts his money and then looks at his bank account 3 or 4 times a day and accumulates more and more wealth, keeps piling it up. So similarly, the devotee should also become greedy for the process of hearing and chanting and should develop a feeling of intense desire to hear and chant more. The effects of kirtan especially are very powerful in the Kali Yuga age. It's a prescribed medicine, bhava ashaudhi. It's a medicine that cures the severe disease of birth, death, old age, and disease, which is particularly pronounced in the age of Kali Yuga. There's a lot of confusion in this age, and it's the age of quarrel. You notice that practically everywhere you go and everywhere you look, there's quarrel and there are difficulties in the age of Kali Yuga. I was just walking by in the park a couple days ago where I take my walk, and the park department was planting some new grass in an area where people have picnics. And I saw a man who was talking to one of the park attendants, and he was arguing with them about the fact that they were putting grass there, saying, boy, you guys didn't think this out very clearly because people walk here and the grass isn't going to grow very well. And I didn't hear much of the conversation, but as I was passing by, I just felt the tone of it, that he was being very argumentative and complaining about something that they were doing, which was trying to enhance the environment there. And realizing that in the age of Kali Yuga, this is sort of the nature, the atmosphere surcharged with quarrel, and there's lots of hypocrisy. And it's a very thick environment, frustrating environment. But the kirtan, the sound vibration of chanting the names of Krishna, especially out loud and especially in a group of pure devotees, those who have no other agenda except to purify themselves and go back to the spiritual world, it cuts through everything. Kalir dosha nidhi rajan asti heko mahadguna kirtanad eva krishnasya mukta sanga parambrajet. That in the age of Kali Yuga, it's like an ocean of faults, but there's one great quality, and that great quality is that the chanting of Hare Krishna in kirtan, it can cut through all of the labyrinth knots of material existence in the age of Kali and take one to the perfected stage. We just had a Harinam performance here in Palo Alto near the Stanford University the other night. It's been raining here a lot, so we hadn't had a chance to be out on the street chanting. And each time we go out, it's like a miracle happens. We're scheduled to meet there at about 7 p.m. on Fridays during the month. And a few of us arrived around 9:45 and started setting up for the yajna, putting up a book table, getting the instruments ready and the speaker system and things like that. And as we assembled, there were just a few devotees and a book table. And as soon as we started chanting, the madanga and the kartal started, and there was one or two devotees standing at the book table. A man came walking around the corner, and he was in a suit and tie, and just he turned the corner really quickly, and then he looked back at me, and then he came back, and he said, is this Hare Krishna? And I said, yes. And he goes, do you have something I can read about this? So he went over to the table, and one of the devotees helped him pick out a book. And then more and more devotees arrived. And as they arrived, I could see the bliss increased, because the more devotees that are present for a kirtan, the more ananda there is, there's more contribution of feeling there is into the arena of sacrifice. And as more devotees arrived, I could see the smiles on their faces, and the devotees began to dance. And it was spontaneous dancing. Everyone was feeling, I could see on their faces, they were experiencing the verse from the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna talks about the yogis. He says, a yogi who attains samadhi feels there's no greater gain. That's very rare in this world because in material consciousness, in the mode of passion, I may always feel no matter where I am, no matter what I get, there's always, it could have been more. If someone gives me $1 million today, I'll think, it should have been 2 million. Why didn't he give me 2 million? He has five, he only gave me one. And then the anxiety starts. Where am I going to keep all this money? And how much is the government going to take, et cetera, et cetera. There's no end to the anxiety in the material world. But in spiritual sound, in taking shelter of the internal energy of Krishna with no other expectation or motivation except to hear it, except to worship it, then the devotees spontaneously, immediately feel satisfied, and the look on their faces radiates this verse from the Bhagavad Gita, sixth chapter, which says, yam labham chaparam labham. They feel there is no greater gain. There's no other place in the universe to be except for right here, and there's no other greater gain than what I'm attaining right now by hearing the name of Krishna. And so this is the internal energy, and it can be experienced by anyone in the Kali Yuga, by kirtan, not just the devotees who are knowledgeable of the process, but every living entity. Kirtan is so generous. The process attracts everyone. In fact, when the dancing started, I saw people would walk around the corner, and as soon as they'd hear the kirtan and see it, they were stunned. Some would stop and their mouths would gape open. And others, including a few young people, saw it and they asked if they could also jump in the kirtan. And they got in and they danced with abandon in the kirtan. Some of them didn't even know what it was. They just wanted to dance and be in the midst of the devotees smiling and experiencing that ecstasy. And so many people crowded around the table to learn more about it. They wanted to buy books and find out, what is this? What's in this? And we want to know, too, what's in it. We want to go deeper into the subject matter and find out, where is it? Where is Krishna? He's in there. He's in that kirtan. He's in that holy name that we chant. Therefore, we carve out space in our life to make progress. We sit down in the morning and we chant japa, listening for Krishna in his name, being present so that Krishna can come into our consciousness with no other expectation except for, I want to serve. I want to be present for the name. This is service, just chanting and hearing, engaging the tongue. Atashi Krishna nama adi nabhaved grahim indriye. Seva mukhi hijevado swayam eva spuratyada. Service begins with the tongue. Just use your tongue for service and speak words which are beneficial to others, which do not offend, and speak the holy name. Chant the divine names of God. Use your tongue. There's muscles there in the tongue, and the voice box, it's a machine, and it can be turned on in such a way that it purifies every cell in the body. That's japa, chanting like that, and hearing. Just hear the name. Let it go in and have faith that the digestion process will take place by Krishna's internal potency. And Krishna's Madan Mohan. Krishna's, the attractions of this world constantly pull me from one body to the next. Each brief encounter I have in a body, it's a moment in time. I think I'm Czechoslovakian. I think I'm Indian. I think I'm from Mexico. I think I'm a man, I think I'm a woman, I think I'm a tree or a plant. And these are material identifications. All these become cleared by the process of becoming attracted to Krishna's internal energy. So Krishna's Madan Mohan, he's the most attractive. He attracts even Cupid. Cupid represents the attractive force of the material world, which means male becomes attracted to female, female becomes attracted to male, and thus the material world goes on. But Krishna attracts Cupid personified, and he's in the sound vibration of his name. So we take time, this is our practice, to hear the names of Krishna, and then the vibration of Srimad Bhagavatam. It actually arrests Krishna within the heart, because the Srimad Bhagavatam, being the internal energy, and being of the topic of pure devotional service, it attracts even Krishna. So if we put ourselves in the proximity of the vibration of that sound of the Srimad Bhagavatam, then we'll also attract Krishna, who's within our heart. He'll want to hear that as well. And thus the whole process is it's guaranteed. One who gives full attention to the Srimad Bhagavatam, to the hearing of Krishna's names, because it's attractive even to Krishna, it pleases the super soul within our heart. This direct process, it attracts Krishna, Krishna's attention. So any other system, nasadayatimam yogo na sankhyam dharma udava, any kind of process, anything I'm engaged in this world, and after all, anything I'm doing, ultimately, if you look at it philosophically, I'm doing it for happiness. I'm doing it to try to find some pleasure. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it. When I was in San Diego a couple of weeks ago, we were driving out for a Harinam Sankirtan performance, and I was in the car with Dravida Prabhu. I was looking out the window, and we drove by a tourist area, and there were hotels, and one of them was called the Comfort Inn. And just as we were going by that, I was thinking, that's a funny name, the Comfort Inn, thinking, of course they wouldn't call it the Discomfort Inn, because no one would go there. I know I wouldn't. Why wouldn't they call it the Comfort Inn? I was thinking there's not really that much comfort in that place. But they call it that. Everyone wants to find some comfort and avoid discomfort as much as possible. But that's not to be in the material realm. But by taking the process of devotional service, one actually comes to the supreme comfort. And our acharyas have given us this system of pure devotional service. That means no motivation. Dharma projita kaitavo tra paramo nirmatsaranam satam. Those who enter this path of devotional service have no motivation, or that's their goal. And the Srimad Bhagavatam begins with this standard of devotional service. There's no motivation for serving God. I'm not doing it to get anything. I'm not asking anything in return. I'm simply doing it service for service. So, unmotivated, uninterrupted devotional service will completely satisfy the self. And the motivation that I hold within my heart is of utmost importance. So on a regular basis, I should examine what my own motivation is for performing devotional service, because that is what will direct me in my life. That will direct me on my spiritual path as well. What my intention is, what my motivation is even more important than how much sadhana I'm performing at the present time. Why? Because Krishna is fully aware of my motivation. Even externally, if I'm performing volumes of devotional service, apparently, but my motivation is different. In other words, my motivation is to gain something, then it's not that effective. On the other hand, even if at the present time I'm unable, due to my circumstances in life, to perform as much service I'd like, but my motivation is to come to that position and to perform pure devotional service, then Krishna will fulfill my desire. So It's an internal process in that sense also. And the best advice I've heard, the best mantra or sort of mission or vision statement to keep present at all times in that regard, was given by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj, and that is, don't try to be a great devotee, just try to be a good devotee. And also, don't try to see Krishna, but try to act in such a way that Krishna will want to see you. And in that, acting in that kind of motivation, in other words, I'm acting to please Krishna and his devotees. I'm not doing it for any other reason. If I cultivate that and pinpoint my own motivation and purify my motivation and intention, then everything good comes from that. So all these subject matters are fully elaborated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, one chapter after another, because the Srimad Bhagavatam advocates this pure devotional service, that is, service for the sake of serving Krishna. And so that's the recommended process, to hear Srimad Bhagavatam and to practice chanting Hare Krishna and say the mantra with the feeling that Krishna, I'm your eternal servant. Jeev Krishna Das, A Bishwas, Kore To Ar Dukonai. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sums it up saying that this one mentality that I'm Krishna Das, I'm Krishna's servant, will eradicate all your suffering. As soon as you turn that switch and decide, I'm Krishna's servant, there's no other purpose to my life, then no more dukkha, no more unhappiness in life. So this mentality, doesn't matter what situation of life one is in, as Prahlad Maharaj pointed out, when Lord Nrsingadeva appeared, he was so furious with Hiranyakashipu, even after killing Hiranyakashipu, the great demon, the demigods came forward and tried to pacify him with streams of excellent words spoken in perfect Sanskrit, and still he was not pacified. So they decided to push Prahlad Maharaj, his saintly son, forward to pacify Lord Nrsingadeva, Hiranyakashipu's son, Prahlad. They pushed him forward and said, now you try. So Prahlad Maharaj began by saying, what can I say? I'm born from a demoniac family. And also, I'm just a little boy. I don't even know Sanskrit. And then he remembered, Bhaktya Tutosha Bhagavan Gajayutapaya. He remembered the story of Gajendra from the Srimad Bhagavatam and how Gajendra was an elephant. He was an animal. But because he offered prayers to the Lord with feeling, with devotion, the Lord accepted him, accepted the prayers, and he saved him. So then Prahlad Maharaj says, it doesn't matter where you come from, it doesn't matter what situation you're in now, if with sincere feeling you offer prayers to the Lord, you try to please the Lord with whatever facility you have right now, you'll be successful and you'll move forward in devotional service. Because the only thing Krishna is attracted to is that purity of purpose. And in the very second, in the very instant that I can muster that feeling of sincerity, my devotional service moves forward. And if I can't muster that feeling of sincerity, then I should pray for it. And in that sincerity to be sincere, I also move forward in the process of devotional service. And all things become possible because of that. So this is one of the qualities of pure devotional service, to always keep in mind the standard, the gold standard, no matter where you find it. We're not sectarian. I met when I was in Japan, I was with Satyadeva Prabhu, and we were on our way to Govinda's restaurant, and I saw a woman distributing the Watchtower magazine from the Jehovah's Witness, so I asked her for a couple of copies, and when we got to the restaurant, I was looking through the Watchtower magazine. And I was just commenting to my friend Satyadev that sometimes when I meet Jehovah's Witnesses, oftentimes they have sort of already a set conception and they don't want to hear much about Bhagavad Gita or anything else. But just then, the restaurant was coming near closing time, and the owner of the restaurant, Madhu Mangal, came over to us and said, I want to introduce you to a friend of mine. He comes here every week. And it was a Japanese man who was a Jehovah's Witness, by coincidence. And we began speaking to him, and he said he was reading the Srimad Bhagavatam and some of the other books that Madhu had given him. And the first comment he made was that, upon reading these books, I realize that you have no motivation. In other words, these books are expressing a kind of service to God in which there's no motivation. You're not asking for anything except for service. And my point is that the gold standard is haitukiya pratiyata. That means this feeling of no motivation and a striving for no interruption. Unmotivated, uninterrupted service will completely satisfy the self, and it attracts Krishna, and it's the only thing that attracts Krishna. And it doesn't matter where you are, what situation you're from, what culture. If you can get this kind of devotional service through good association, through the association of those who have it, then you make progress in devotional service, because it's part of the internal energy of Krishna, and it attracts Krishna. Om Tat Sat. Go Premanande Hari Hari Bo. So please, let's see.